to you so we can hear you better. So, where were you born? And do you know what year you were born?
Well, my parents were married in 1900. And 1900 January. So I think I was born in 1901.
You were the first child.
That's all.
Only child.
Yeah. And I didn't know.
And what do you know? Remember your parents' names?
Yes, my father's name was Moses. Moses is in English. In Armenian, was Moses. Your five brothers. My grandma was widow. She said, he's not going to work hard. She sent him to become school teachers. And from there, she, you know, we had the American missionary in our country. They had a college there, school and everything. So we went there to, our town was two nationalities, Armenians and Assyrians. So after he graduated from and then he went to learn Assyrian. After he learned Assyrian, he went to Russia to become a painter, not painting house.
A painter, an artist.
Artist. There was, I remember the Presbyterian Church in my hometown, and the pulpit there, what do you call it in English then? The dome wall, there is a platform where they stand and preach.
The altar.
He painted aqua green and Chinese red, like almonds, which is beautiful.
So he was a good painter?
Well, yeah, he could do that, but then he was teaching school in my hometown. And then after that, he went to other towns.
And his name was Moses, but he didn't have a last name?
Yeah, Moses Vivian. Oh. So anyway, when he went to Russia, he came back sick.
He went to Russia to teach?
No, I don't know why he went, or something else. His brothers were there, for what business he went, after all the money.
You were a baby.
I wasn't a baby. I think I was about 7 years or something. So he came home, he came back from Russia. He went to doctor. Doctor said, you go to back to your country. Climate is better there. You got a tuberculosis. So he came home. And then I think I was 7 years or something. So that's, he had a short life.
Yeah, how old was he when he died?
Yes, yeah.
And how about your mom?
So, my mother, so anyway, my mother and uncles, no uncle, they live in the same house, you know, a lot of people. So, when I was about 13 years old, she wanted to get married, so she could get married. And I was with my girlfriends fixing from the rocks. We were fixing a dollhouse, and we had our dolls. Of course, I was not a little girl to play doll, but we were having a party. Our dolls were going to get married. They called me. They want you home. I went home to other people. They said, they want you. No, they were matchmaking. Because your grandpa was my aunt, Sarah Kondak's sister. Her brother, he came from America.
Grandpa did?
Yeah. Grandpa was here in 1906. So,
he came back to find
yeah,
a wife.
Yeah, he came back to, poor man, I don't think he just went back to see his relatives, people, you know. And there were so many nice girls for them, you know, they wanted. But my aunt told my mother, you know, maybe he kids fix this. When that happened, what they would be brought, those days they were not much money. And he spent it on fixing their vineyards, things like that. So anyway, they arranged this marriage, and we got married.
Who arranged it?
My aunt, my auntie aunts.
My mother,
Sarah, and my mother and my uncle. You have no? So they finished this marriage, and then it was 1914, July 3rd. No.
No, this was earlier.
1913, July 3rd. Like it's 4th of July here, and there's the 3rd of July, people go to, there's a lake there, but we call the Yama, we call it ocean, it's a big ocean, it's soft, you know.
It's a big lake.
Yeah, and we all go to that lake for that day.
And what's that, what are they celebrating?
I don't know if they celebrate, but we all go there.
Are you celebrating?
But I can go, that's, I was getting married. So anyway, Grandpa wants to come back to America. So I had a house.
You had a house there?
Oh, I had my own house.
Family house?
Because my father died, everything was left for me.
Not your mom, but for you?
For both of us.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, he came. He put us in my house. I had a yard. I had one water buffalo, one or two cows, and barn, everything.
You had a horse?
No horse.
Did you have a cart?
Cars?
Cart to move around? I mean, how did you go to town and everything?
Oh, well, it was a small town.
To walk?
Yeah. We had a horse and wagon, you know, something like that. But we have our neighbors, the Muslims. They used to work for us. They, you know, no wages, and they work. So Grandpa didn't have money to come back. And he wrote here to his friends, and they sent his there. And he wanted me to come too, but I said, no, I don't want to leave my mother. I don't think he was able to bring my mother to me. So anyway, I don't think she wanted to come. Too bad I didn't come here. And it came summertime. I think it was in July somewhere. Came to America. So then it was in December before Christmas. Russia was, they were in our country, in Iran. And we were protected by we were protected by Russia from Iranians, from Mohammedans.
Because you were Christian?
Yeah, because we were, the whole country is Mohammedan. There are some Christians, some Jewish, just a little bit different thing, you know. Then Russia backed up, and we had to leave it.
Because they wanted
to. Oh, yeah. Especially young girls, they want to marry them right away. I asked my mother, I said, let's go, everybody's going. My aunt Linda was with us that night. She was married, she used to live in a different town.
But you just had to leave your land and your house
everything,
and your cows?
Everything. I didn't even have, I had shoes on until we got in the snow. And then anyway, my aunt Sarah, she came knocking on our door. It was midnight. She said, come on, everybody's leaving town. Everybody's being away. We have to. And my mother said, she's joking. You know, they just came out for, shall we put them there? They don't have a case for toilet. Sometimes they go up. She said she came out for something. But she keep on knocking. So my mother opened the door. She said, come on, everybody's gone. And my mother told me, she said, I'm not going to go. You stay too. I said, I'm not staying. I said, if you want to come, all right. If not, I'm going. So anyway, my Aunt Sarah and myself and all of hometown people, most of them, we left. 7 o'clock, we left everything we had.
Take your water buckle up?
Nothing. We left everything. So, in the morning.
Was it winter time now?
Winter, in December, a little before Christmas.
Was there snow then?
Yeah, 1 week before we had one come to snow. So, anyway, here comes people from all, Assyrian people from other towns. They said, what are you doing here? She said, my brother and my sister are gone. But I don't want to know. They said, you better come. Don't stay, they'll kill you. So my mother came with them while we were camping, and she came. She found us. She found me. Early in the morning, we have to
get up and go.
Go without horses, a buggies, or nothing. Just walk. And I never did walk so much in my life. And I couldn't stand. They were stiff. My aunt and my mother held me to stand up. I fell down. They were so stiff that they were hurting my legs.
You had no blankets or nothing?
Nothing. So anyway, they dragged me for a while. And we came for a place that was no houses, nothing. And summertime maybe it was desert, but wintertime it was full of snow. So I had to throw my shoes off. I walked in that snow all day long from 6 o'clock in the morning till it was dark. My mother left me. She said, if I stay with you, you're just not going to come. She said, I'm going to leave. She went ahead. She was very fast. She went ahead.
Okay. You threw your shoes away?
Yeah, I threw. I couldn't wear them no more. They're full of snow and everything. But I had my cousin. He was maybe young, 1 year younger than me. I was crying, and he said, oh, Paul, don't cry. Sophia, don't cry. He said, don't cry, he'll be all right. So finally, we got, but she was waiting. Finally, we finished that walk in that snow from morning to night. Yeah. So anyway, she was waiting there. Well, once she found something, she made her fire so she could warm up my legs. And a lot of people, they lost their legs from frostbitten. But I was too, they were black and but no gangrene. God was with me all the way growing.
Where were you walking to?
We were walking, just leaving away. We were still
just down the road, huh?
Yeah, just, we are in Iran, you know. But we're walking towards Russia. So anyway.
You got the mountain, Russia's on the other side of the mountains, huh?
Russia, we came to mountains, but no, most of it was, there is a river between Iran and Russia, they call it Aras. So we walked and we camped in another city of Iranians, they didn't bother us. Till we come to Aras, and to that river. And then, when you cross the bridge, you're in Russia. Of course, it's Caucasia, there's Armenians, there's all different nationalities there. It is in the heart of Russia. So we crossed the bridge. Before we crossed the bridge, they fired at us. I went under the, something under the
table. Under the table?
Yeah.
What table?
Well, some kind of bench. But I don't know what they were putting. They didn't have tables there. But I went under something. So anyway,
on the bridge.
Before we crossed the bridge,
Europe.
We were in some shack or something to keep warm. Do you know Corey, my uncle? You know Zona? Their dog walked to that river between Russia and Iraq. When that dog saw me, he jumped. He was crying. Oh, that poor dog, I don't know what happened to him. He was running away too. He was trying to find his master, his people, but he found me. He knew me because I belonged to my uncle. So anyway, he crossed the bridge of that river Aras, and the train is waiting for us to take us in the deep in Russia. And there is a woman from back to back. She is looking for us. For my mother, myself, my aunts. That woman is Russian. My uncle was married in Russia. He was married to a Russian girl. And then my uncle, when he came to Iran, just in 1 week he died with something. And then one son died too. They had two sons.
People used to die a lot.
Yeah. So anyway, but this woman was so faithful. She stayed there. She worked. She took care of my grandpa, grandma, and then her son. Her son was gone. He wasn't my age. I still think he went to deep in Russia to school, and he was in the military. What happened to him, I don't know. But this woman was from wagon to wagon looking for us. She found
wagons, were there hundreds of wagons?
Could be big train, long train, because people could be...
Wagons with water buffalo pulling them?
No.
Oh, it was
train.
Oh, there was a train.
Train,
waiting to take you to Russia.
Yeah, so she went to conductor and she said, how long are you going to be here? He said, a few hours. She said, please, would you let these people, these are my in-laws, I want to take them home and give them lunch. He said, all right, but certain I'll bring them back. So we went to her place. She was remarried. She was married to
her. You were controlled by the Russians at this point.
Yeah, no, they're taking care of us.
And the car, it wasn't just big cars. The train had chairs in it and everything.
Yeah, so you
just
could
like
sit.
A regular train.
Yeah. Some of them were
It wasn't like where they put the cows or something.
Some
like
of
that.
Them were just like that. Yeah, I think it was like that. Just
straw.
I don't know how many of us we were in one wagon.
But some wagons had cars.
Some of them, yeah.
I mean, the chairs.
So anyway,
do you remember her name?
Yeah, Olga.
Olga.
Olga Benjamin. My uncle's name was Benjamin. Grandpa, you know. She could have been Edgar too. But then she gave us good dinner. I never won a lard. She had a lard there. You know, it's a lot like butter. And she knew that I never liked it. Yeah. But I was putting on bread and eating. She said, you told me you never liked it. I said, this is butter. She said, no, that's not butter. So anyway,
did she give you some more shoes?
She filled, somebody gave me something, yeah, clothes and shoes. And then she fed us and she cried. She said, I have to take you back. But she was married to, remarried, you know, to a Russian officer. He was in service too. And then she took us back. That's the last time I saw her.
Have you heard about her?
No, I just don't know where she is. I don't know.
It wasn't dangerous where she lived, was it?
No, she was in the... She was cross the...
Who was it who was firing at you when you crossed the bridge?
I think some Iranians...
Were there a lot of them?
No.
So nobody got hurt?
Yeah, a few people got hurt. So anyway, we went... by that train all the way to Aras, all the way to Yerevan. That's
Yerevan?
Yerevan. That's the capital city of Armenia.
How do you say it?
Yerevan. So anyway, that's in Armenia. I don't know what they call it. I think they all call it that. So those Armenians took care of us. And they gave us food, and they gave us shelter and everything. And then the next day, I went up. I looked at the mountains. You know, I saw Mount of Ararat.
Mount of Ararat?
Mount of Ararat. What's called in English? It's similar.
Ararat?
Yeah.
Or
was it? What mountains is that?
That's the mountain that Ark of Noah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I would never care to look at that mountain of Ararat if I didn't. 1914, young evangelist came from America to Iran. So I went to his revival meetings. The meetings were...
You stayed in this town for quite a while then?
Yeah. I want to tell you how I know that was Mount of Ararat. So I went to his meetings. This is in Iran before we flew away. And I liked what I saw for him. And then he was holding meetings on a riverbank under the trees. It was summertime. And from all neighboring town, people were coming, kneeling down on that ground, raising their hands, praising God. I saw something in their face. It was just cool. I said, dear God, what they got, I want them. So then I started reading my Bible, and I read about the Noah's Ark and Mount of Ararat. So that's why I stood there and looked at Mount of Ararat. Yeah. So from there, then, we boarded the train again. We went to Sidon.
How long did you stay there?
Where, in Yerevan? Until they had... I don't remember how long, but until they had train ready for us, place
well,
ready
it was
for
just
us.
A few days.
Yeah.
It wasn't a month.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was at least a month?
At least, yes. So
2 months, maybe?
No, I don't think.
But it was still winter when you left.
Oh, yeah, still winter.
A lot of snow.
We had the Christmas on a... We don't even know if it was Christmas because we were on a...
Did you stay with a family there?
With the families, Armenian families.
So you stayed at somebody's house?
Yeah, some.
You and your mom and Aunt Gunda?
Well, let's say yes, all of us. Then we went... They took us to Tiflis. That's a big city. Then there are a lot of mountains around there. It's beautiful.
Do you know what mountains those are? What mountain range that is?
In a Tiflis. So anyway, from there, I don't want to go any further.
You liked it there?
We had.
You were just tired.
So my Aunt Sarah, she went ahead. She went to another city. I don't know how many hundred miles away because she was looking for her husband's family around there. On the wind. My mother and I, we stayed in Tiflis.
With who?
Well, they had place for us.
With a family or did you have a home?
No, no, it was some kind of like a soldier's barrack.
So a lot of people lived in
Yeah, a lot of us in one place.
And how did they feed you?
But they gave us food like ration, you know. Every day they used to come and give us anything we need. They fed us.
So you didn't cook food at all?
Oh yeah, my mother used to cook. We have a place that we could cook. They give us things that we could cook. So we stayed there for, I don't remember for how long. But then...
Another month. Several months or another month?
Oh, yeah, more than that, more than 6 months.
Oh, you stayed in this place for
months? Yeah, well, we stayed there. Then Russia went back again because that was 1914 war.
Well, was it a happy time when you were there or was everybody sad?
No, we were happy because we were all together. People start getting married, things like that. So Russia came back to Iran again and they were only. I think they were, it was World War I. They were going to go through the Iran. They were not fighting with Iran. Iran never was in a war those days.
And it was just in the way.
Yeah. Through the Iran to go to Turkey. It wasn't a war. You know how many million Armenians they killed?
Many.
2 million. They threw them on a river, God Only River, they called. And the river was...
God Only?
God Only.
God Only.
And it was flowing blood because there were so many Indians there. They killed them. I don't think there is any nationality that they don't believe on Jesus Christ, hate Christians like Turkish people. They just hate Christians.
So, do the Turks believe in Jesus Christ?
No, maybe.
They believe he lived, but they don't believe he's...
They believe that he was... they call him... he was a prophet.
But he wasn't as big a prophet as Muhammad.
Yeah. But meantime, they call him... Musa'i, Moses, Musa'i, Kalamullah, that God talked to Moses. Musa'i, Kalamullah.
Oh, so they acknowledge that God talked.
Yeah, it's Muhammad, Rasulullah, Muhammad, Prophet. Isa, Isa'i, Ruh Allah. They said that, they said Muhammad is Isa'i, Ruh Allah, Jesus. Is the spirit of the God.
Did the Turks say that?
Yeah, all the Mohammedans. This is their saying. When I was a little girl, I learned these words.
Why do they hate the Armenians so much?
They hate because they were Christian. They hate Christians.
They believed the same things, but they hated them because they were...
Well, you mean they were born in the same country.
And they believed the same things, basically.
No, they believe on earth. They got the Quran, they got Muhammad, they believe on God. But meantime...
And they believed in Jesus.
They believed in Jesus, they said he's a prophet. But in their Quran, they said Isa'i Ruhu Allah, Jesus, spirit of God.
Not son of God.
No, they still killed the Christians.
So that wasn't really even a part of World War One. It was just the Turks hated the Armenians.
Well, Russia was in World War One.
But the Turks had no reason to kill the Armenians. As far as political, not political.
No, no. They killed them just for religion. Not because they were Armenians or not in a war. They just killed them for that reason.
So when Russia came back into the...
Then Russia came back to Iran, and we went back, and our neighbors, the Muslims, they took everything we had, and they gave all back to us.
Wow, and your house wasn't burned down?
No, houses were not burned down. Streets that nobody walked on them, they were just full of wheat. So anyway, whatever they took from us, they gave it back to us. We were good neighbors. I mean, we didn't kill each other, but this happened. So, and then we stayed there till 1917. Russia turned communist. When Russia turned communist, they started us again in Iranians.
So you had to run away again.
And then British sent an airplane to our island. City of Urmia. The plane landed there.
Urmia, how far was that from your village?
Not very far, maybe...
20 miles?
No, not even that much. So
And what was your village name?
Shirabad.
Shirabad.
Yeah.
Shirabad.
Yeah, Shirabad.
That means what?
Shir means milk. Abad means...
Plentiful.
No, Abad means living place.
Oh.
So that's that's the name of my hometown.
So at some point I want you to tell me something about Shirabad. Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to go on with this story? But sometime I'd like you to describe
Yeah, we could come back to our village. And but then 1917 Russia turned communist. And they said, none of you going to leave. And then when...
Why?
They want to kill us.
The Russians?
No. Russia went back. They turned back to their old country. So we're left again with the Muslims. And then what happened? British plane landed by city of Urmia. And then...
Do you remember the airplane?
Well, we were amazed. We never saw an airplane before. when we saw that...
You didn't even know there was such a thing?
Yeah, people were describing, we went to pick something, it was summertime, and while we were coming, those Assyrian from mountains, and they keep on saying, Paruch the Shitele, Paruch the Shitele. You know, the flyers came, you know. And we don't even know what they're talking about. So we came close to the city, and we saw some Assyrians from our hometown, Iranian, not from mountains. And we asked them, I said, that those people from mountains have been saying Baruch the Shitele, what they're talking about.
What does that mean, Baruch the Shitele?
That something that, like, bird flies, something was flying.
It means bird, or?
No.
Just means
the flyer bird. Is here, the flyer is here. And we don't know what they mean. And we asked him, I said, that's what these mountaineers were telling us. What is that? What they mean? Oh, they said the British sent a plane and a few people in it to tell us that they're not able to come to us, but we should go to them. Again, we had
to walk. Was it winter again?
No, it was summer. 1914 was winter, but now it's summer.
It's 1917.
So anyway, then we went to the city, and this is the photo. I asked him. So everybody was there around that plane. They were describing. It has wings, they said. They are this long. It's just like a bird. Well, we want to sit for our seat. We are running, and we went there and all around that plane.
And you were about 15 years old then?
Yeah.
That was... 17?
Yeah, I was...
16.
16, something like that. So anyway, then they stayed for a while. They took off. They went back. And then we got ready. And we have to walk again. I don't know how long it took us to be met with British.
And where did you walk the same direction?
No, this is altogether different. That one was towards Russia. This one is towards...
India?
Towards Baghdad, Mesopotamia, they used to call it that way. But we're still in Iran. We're walking when we came to the city of Hamadan. I don't know how long it took us. When we came there, do you know, Corey, one Iranian man with a few people with him, was sitting there on the road. You know what's the lavash?
Yes.
That bread. He had a big eyes like this. Anybody was passing by, he was giving them a bread. Wasn't that nice of him? See?
Did you bring food this time?
Yeah, we have no food, nothing. For 4 days, I didn't have anything to eat.
Was it real hot?
It was hot, yes. And we were, but nights were cool. And I still have the scarves, I'll show you. We camped somewhere around the mountains. This way, there were so many mountains. And then there was a young lady with me. I lost my mother, I don't know where.
Hundreds of people?
Oh, yeah. And then we were hungry. And this woman, she had a dog. And we went to get one up there with the bed. She said, if you take care of this, you make this bread for me, I'll give you some. So what gladly I did. She had some fire there and something like the tin on it. So we fixed that bread and we cooked it. And she gave us one piece. Not one bread like American bread. Just pieces like that. So we ate that. And then I was so close to that fire, I was just taking those stones. In the morning and I woke up, I don't know how many stones were on my skin. So anyway, they were burned. I wouldn't even wake up, I was so tired.
You mean you were so close to the fire that the...
Yeah, because I just want to hug that fire, I was so close.
And the stones were, where were the stones?
Small stones from the around the fire.
Oh, and you got on the bottom of your feet, huh?
No. When I was laying like this,
Oh. Right
here, for a long time I could see the scars, but they're gone now. So anyway, then nothing to eat, What I don't want it. I want water. There was no water.
There was no water?
There was no water. You could see all the bodies that emanated.
There were dead people on the road.
Yeah, and half drop. And then it became someplace.
A lot of dead people?
Yeah, they were dying from hunger. From we came someplace to cross the river, and this side is town, and on the mountains they're ready to fire at us, and this is the river, and the town is like this, you know. So we passed the town, and then we know they're firing. The bullets, they're just coming. You know, Corey, not one bullet touched me. I've been in firing 5 times. So anyway, there was a young man. I said, please kill us. So they won't, you know. He said, you know what? Get hold of my horse's tail. We're going to cross.
There was no bridge.
No. We have to.
And they were on the same side as the river?
No, on the other side. They were on this side, from town, from mountain, and then the town was like us.
So where were the people who were firing at you? They were on the other side?
Yeah.
They were on your side?
They were behind us.
And they were coming?
Yeah, they were coming to us.
And everybody was running away?
Yeah. Then they were going on. How come? I can't explain. This is miracle. God was so good to me. It went down. It didn't explode, Corey. And so much dirt through the air, we just ran away. So when we got hold of this young man, he had a gun. He said, get hold of my horse's tail, cross the river. So we got across. He said, aren't you glad I didn't kill you? So what? We went, well, they fire again. Just keep on going like that till we come to English. What was it? In Hamadan.
So the English were Hamadan?
They took care of us.
Where's Hamadan? In Iran?
Iran, yeah. Still Iran. And then...
And you got water at the river.
Yeah, we got water, and so that Iranian man gave us a piece of bread.
How long did all this take? From the time you left your village to the time you got to Hamadan?
Quite
months.
Maybe 2 months. Like
that. It definitely took more than 2 weeks. Huh?
Oh yes, more than 2 weeks. I'm camping here and there for 2 months. So I lost my mother.
The whole time.
Till we got to Hamadan.
You lost her at the river before. Then?
You know what? When I haven't eaten for 4 days. Then we found that place that you have to go, I don't know how many steps to get to water. It was like, what do you call that in English?
A well? A big bowl? A spring?
Yeah. We went down and I drank so much water. I said, I don't want water anymore. I'm not going to drink anymore. I won't get thirsty. But I walk away from it. I'm thirsty again. We don't dare to go back again.
Why?
Because we're running away, away. So, anyway, we had water there.
They're chasing you always, the whole time they're chasing you.
Well, patches on and on, yeah. See, sometimes you need bomb refuse.
Were they soldiers or just people?
No, just like riot when they make what they're doing now. That kind, no soldiers.
Just the Muslims would find you and chase you?
Yeah.
Or you'd go by their town so
they'd
come
they know what was going on. So they're chasing us. So anyway, we came to Hamadan, and
was that a big town?
City, yeah. So there is one lady. She felt so sorry. I was with one woman. She had a son. I think he was 8 years old. We had the same name. And this woman, she said, when we were walking, we came to the gate to walk in the city. She's standing there. When she saw us, she cried. She said, come on, I'll take you to my house. We don't know what to do. She took us to her house.
Weren't the British in Havadah?
Yeah, they were, but we have reached our camping place to stay with them. So anyway, she took us to her house. She house to take a bath and everything. She combed my hair to take everything. Everything was in my hair, you know.
Bugs.
Everything, even.
Lies.
Everything. So anyway, she said, you know what? In the morning, she said, I'm going to take you someplace. I guess Ogbendi. He's having him.
Ogbendi?
Ogbendi. He's very rich man. And he is the British. He's working with him. So she took us in the morning there. And they had big place in the country. And then this road that you're walking in their farm, both sides are roses, just beautiful vineyards and everything. And his wife was standing on the balcony. When she saw us, she was so happy she came down. She said thank you to her husband. Her husband wasn't there, he was in the office. But she took us to her husband's office. He said, take him to my house. And she was thanking a lot. Her husband, thank you for sending him to me. She liked me so much.
So were you with your mom again?
No, mom was lost. So she had one son, two daughters, this Haikazov and then his wife. So we stayed with him. And then at the evening, he closed the office, he came home. And then dinner was ready, he had the servants and everything, table is set, dinner is ready by the father told him, no.
He was a young man, or?
Yeah, he was not too young, but
four,
in the village, yeah,
30 or
businessman, yeah. And he want us to meet with him. So we sat at the table, they start eating, I left the table. I start crying, and they came after me. He said, what's the matter? Why don't you eat? I said, how can I eat? I lost my mother, and she's hungry. And I sit at the table and eat. He said, I promise you, I'm going to find your mother. So anyway, the next day he said, I don't know too much. Any place that the refugees were camped, and they said my mother's name, they called.
Where was your mother?
Shirin Babian. Her maiden was Shirin Benjamin. So anyway, so my mother was sick. She didn't hear them. They said, we're looking for certain women. Her daughter is with us, and we got to find her. And then one maiden, she heard my name on my mother's name. She ran to my mother, Shirin. She said, your daughter is married. Her husband was here looking for you. You know, she just made up this in her mind. My mother said, I don't care as long as she's alive. So they took my mother, their brother, by to the Armenian church, to the trees there. So from there, and the priest put her on a horse, and one man, he said, take this lady to Haikazov and this house, farm. And then I was laying down, I wasn't eating. His wife came to me, she said, come on, Sophia, come on. She said, there's a lady coming, and that, what do you call the big way that you walk on it.
A big hallway? Or
no, it's
outside.
Outside.
A big sidewalk or a big wall?
Outside the way that you walk. It's between their...
The road and the house?
Yeah, between their land and the house. Yeah. So she said, I think it's my mother. Yeah, I went down, sure think it's my mother.
Good.
And we were so happy. We stayed together for a while. And my husband didn't want us to go any place.
You lived at his house, huh?
We lived at his house. And I was with his kids, taking them here and there.
How old were his kids?
Young.
Little kids.
Yeah, little kids, yeah. No, maybe one was five, one was eight, one was ten, something. And going to their aunt's house, she was far away from where they lived. And their mother said, would you go to my sister and take the kids for a walk? I did. And then some people, they made us sister. Kujamiri. That means where you going? I understood that. This is a Farsi. I said, Mirbala Mirza. We're going to some kind of master in his house. So anyway, my mother kept on saying, you know, Prabhupada's in America. She kept on saying, he's not confined us here.
He had no idea where you were.
Yeah, no idea. And then...
it had been years, too. Was it years since he went back to
America? Yeah.
3 years or something?
1914 to 1918. So anyway, my husband said, don't leave, he said. If something happens, we all going to leave together. We go to London, we go here and there. She said, I'll take very good care of you, like my own mother. No, she said.
Your Haikus Effendi said, don't leave.
Oh, yeah, we left, and he gave us.
Now, tell me about that time that you got in trouble. You should start all over.
Okay. There's my cup. Is it open?
Yeah, it's on. There's a cup. So the So the Indian guy comes out of the tent, he falls down, he gets mad, he complains, and you have to go to the court martial.
Yeah. We're still there, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's, you don't want to sit?
Oh, yeah.
And then...
He tripped, and you had to go...
He tripped, yeah. And so anyway, he went to complain, and he called court martial, and they called me, they said, come on.
British?
Yeah. They were, well, I don't know, doctor, generals, and they called interpreter. I think I was just started.
So you didn't speak English then?
No. They asked interpreter to ask me, why I did that to him.
He said that you tripped him?
Yeah, I ran after him and did it.
Oh, that you chased him?
Yeah, I chased him.
Did he run away because there was pork there?
Yeah, even me.
And he was afraid of it?
Yeah, why should he? I was taking it to patients to the war. So I told this. I said, I had a tray with me. I was going to go take it to patients and, you know, put some of this, some of that. It was feeding time for him. And when he was coming out, and he called me, Jalil, Suvarkibachi. You know what Suvarkibachi? That's it. He said, get away, son of a pig. Son of a pig. And I just didn't know what to say. I said, why? And he ran away from me. And he tripped and he fell. They didn't do nothing to me.
Was he there? Was he at court?
Of course he was there.
Did he say anything?
And then they sent me back. I don't know what they did. Because they could have sold them. This girl didn't understand. Like, yes. She doesn't know you don't eat pork or you don't like pork. Or I don't know.
So was there any other
memorable experiences that you had? You.
Is this on? Well, as I told you, I told Mr. McDowell I don't want to work in Indian Hospital because of that experience. But I was working with the kids. And one of those kids, he wants some kind of food. And I told Mrs. George, I said, he wants some kind of food. He got this for him. She said, would you go to the bazaar? Was it too far from us? She said, you go get it for him.
Oh, so you could go to the town?
It wasn't town. It was made bazaar special for that camp.
There was no town there.
It was desert.
It was like the market then?
Yeah. So I went and I got the stuff until I come back and was dead.
Oh. Yeah. That happened a lot, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I told them they just couldn't bury them in one grave. They have to dig a ditch. No, they just put money and stay there.
So your mother made it to America, right? Mm-hmm. How long did she live in America?
We came to America in 1920. My mother died in 1924.
What?
She got married, you know.
No, I didn't know that. In Chicago?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about her family now? The family that she married?
They're all gone. It's nice, man.
Was it hard coming into America? Did they give you trouble at all, or was it very easy? Was there a lot of paperwork? You landed in the same day they let you in?
What, in America? Oh, yeah. They came, as I told you, from Canada to Chicago. I mean, from Detroit to Chicago, and that was the only trouble. And please ask me what if I was going. Because we got our transport there. It's just you have to, on a boat when you cross the border, they want to know if you could read and write. I said I could read the Assyrian. So they brought a book that was all the Assyrian language, Arabic. I read it, but I didn't know what I was reading.
What about Grandma?
Well, then we were in.
Shadabra?
You're asking about his mother?
Well, about his early life.
Well, Grandpa was 40 days old when his father died. And his mother was beautiful, young. And then.
What did his father die from? A lot of people died from TB?
Yeah, then, she was a young woman and pretty woman. And Grandpa's uncle's wife, she had a baby too, therefore. And Grandpa was 40 years old. And this, I don't know how old was the other baby. And they told her, they said, you leave. You go ahead, get married. And they took the Grandpa away from her. And he had a sister who was 2 years older than him, Sarah. And this, his uncle's wife, she was nursing her baby and Grandpa. She brought
him. King Nestle?
No. Nestle's his aunt. This is his uncle's wife.
Yeah. I thought Auntie Nestle raised him.
No? She raised him. So anyway, then he used to go to his mother too.
Did she get married again?
Yeah, she got married and then she had a son by the name Janet, and old as he has. He died in Chicago. He was 18 years old. He lived something. I think he had a heart condition. He died in Marissa.
Was Grandpa's, she had Marissa too? Grandpa's mom?
Yeah, from her second husband. And then Grandpa grew up and came, because I told him he went to Russia, then came to America.
What did he do in Russia? You don't know.
Well, he went to make money in Russia. He was a young man, and then he wanted to come to America.
Did he find work in Russia?
I guess for a little while, and then he made a song, and he made an arrangement, and he came to America. He came to Yonkers around there. He was working in Sheetwood Factory or something.
From Yonkers?
Yonkers. He came through New York. He came like me through Canada. And then he said he was working in Sheetwood Factory around there.
In New York?
In that state, Connecticut or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
So anyway. Then he came to Chicago. He worked in Chicago. And then he was working in his factory.
Yeast?
Yeast, yeah, dry yeast, muffin yeast.
Uh-huh.
And they all worked in that factory. Gracie, Dorothy, myself.
Everybody worked in the same factory? The grandpa worked there?
Yeah. Yeah.
After you had the store, though. When did you get the store?
That was before. Then I came to America to have the store.
You did already? Well, how come you lived in the boarding house?
Well, you can't live in the store.
Where did you all live then? When you got there, what happened then?
Then we rented the apartment. Was on the
floor. He had enough money to do that?
The rent was high. $25.
So he could afford it, no problem.
Yeah, no problem. So he had a grocery store with his cousin together. And then,
what was the store like?
Grocery, like delicatessen.
Little one. Had an ice, big ice chest or a big freezer? Or?
They had
reasons. Did everybody speak English there? Or? So he had to write English then sometimes, you know, write letters and stuff. The prices for things.
Yeah, he knew how to fix the prices. You don't have to write it with the numbers.
Yeah.
He used to stock up so much. I used to wait.
So how long after you came to America before Aunt Grace was born?
I came to America August 27, 1920. Grace was born June 23, 1921. Here. And daughter was born August 14, 1922. 14 months. And her Baba was born December 13, 1921. 10 years between Baba and Grace.
And you always did you stay in that same apartment most of the time? No.
It's so much fun.
Oh yeah. But you always had the same store.
Well, he had the store, then he sold the store. And he didn't have the store and he went to work.
In the yeast factory again?
Yeah, this time he went to work in the yeast factory. And we had a store when Grace and Dorothy were little girls too. And there was Butcher and Grandpa. That was big grocery store.
And he owned it, huh?
He didn't own the building.
But he owned it. He rented it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He owned the business. And
that was his second one.
And what did you speak at home? He spoke Assyrian?
He spoke Assyrian. When girls went to school, they wouldn't understand English. Yeah, obviously.
So how did they learn English?
They learned in school.
But when they first started school, they couldn't understand nothing.
Okay. And then Bobby starts school. But he couldn't understand.
So then they started speaking English.
No, they started speaking English together, sisters and with their friends. And
were they pretty happy little girls?
Very happy, always together. I always dressed them same. I went to buy them dresses. They just had one dress. I said, I want two alike. She said, if you went, we order another one.
And they were always together, so they were good friends.
friends always.
But Mom, Dorothy was kind of mean sometimes.
Sometimes, no, but because it was her father was the racist one.
Why?
She wanted to do everything for her.
In what?
I want to show you the river that you were on. You know, I had a picture there. It was taken 1911. Somebody came. And he said, Jimmy Hare and I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Your name?
No.
Well, the doctor said that I found refuge here in America.
No, you said that you really loved America. It's a wonderful country.
That's it. I said that I came to America and found refuge here and I stayed here. I never did think that.
Sounds real beautiful where you live, but I guess politically.
Yeah. We live in peace, but when this world starts and they start getting that.
What language is that written in?
This is in Assyrian. I said, yes, Grace, it was me. Well, what did you speak about? I said, let me tell you first of all. I told him that young evangelist came from America to Iran, and he was holding revival meetings, and I went to his meetings. And then I liked what I saw. I received what they had. I said, do you know who was that young evangelist? She said, no. I said, it was Andrew Worship, your father. Oh, that girl, she just went to pieces. Honestly, it was my father, I said, yes. Isn't it something? Since 1914, he wasn't married then. Came back to America, he got married. And that's his daughter now, his grandson is a preacher. Or something, did she come? I don't know yet, because my voice is not like yesterday, it was better.
Oh, it's okay.
Sure, it's okay. I'm going to sing about King Jesus. That's it. Try it, Mama Dolly. See if you like it. Şeyh Melket Meliki Vili Galbana Şmıklı Xeylet Xeyta Dejmin Sadana Bösmürün Yabrihi Küllün Kagana Marama beydam çiha, stipu dimana. Çiha pira prima, min dünya dağla. Çiha pira prima, min dünya dağla. Çiha pira prima, min dünya dağla. شيخ ملك الملكي غاب على هدني. How's that sound?
It's really good. You have a lot of volume.
It's the love to sing. Shall we put this in?
Okay. It's already on.
Oh, why didn't you tell me? I said I just want to play it.
Well, I figured that you probably would do it fine. But you
did. She has been the flame of sleep with the manna. Androhola tila letra la hera. She has had a soros to mamma coda. She has fear a prima in the nea palma. She has fear a prima in the nea palma. She has fear a prima in the nea palma. She has melted melody. غابان الدنيا بسم شيخ ملك حاكم او كل بريتا من خقرت فرسوك بتهش مهيتا شاري زانت شنامة مليم خادوتا الفاشن بريخي تاتي بيوتا شيخ فير بريمة من بنيا طلما شيخ فير بريمة من بنيا طلما شيخ فير بريمة من بنيا طلما شيخ ملكت ملكي غابة عن الدنيا أمين جيس قاد. You know, Corey, I don't know if I told you, I found refuge in America, and I always pray for this country, and God.